This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad, wa ala al-mab'uthi rahmatan lil alameen, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi, wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran ila yawmiddin, amma ba'd. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا إن في الجسد مضغة إذا صلحت صلح الجسد كله وإذا فسد فسد الجسد كله ألا وهي القلب أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. My respected listeners, when we come into the world, it's very easy to come into the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings many, many people into the dunya, into this world. They become an individual, a human being in this world. So it's quite easy to come into this world. However, it is extremely difficult to become a true human being. And that's the point we need to focus on today. To become a true human being is extremely difficult. To gain the insaniya and to live by insaniya, that is the challenge and the difficulty, because we constantly have things around us that try to take us away from insaniya, try to make us cut corners, try to make us deceive others, try to become selfish, try to gain things for ourselves and lose the compassion that we should have in our heart, lose the love that we should have in our heart, lose the contentment we should have in our heart from the pure realm that we came from, which is from natural faith, after having recognized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the alamul arwah, in the universe of the souls, and having said to him, bala, having said to him, yes, we definitely recognize you, after he asked us and he said, Alastu bi Rabbikum, aren't I your Lord? So coming into this world is quite easy in the sense that it happens spontaneously, but the struggle is to actually become a human being. And what's interesting is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in the hadith that I just related at the beginning, which is that the thing that governs the entire body is this piece of flesh which is in the middle of the heart. It's in the middle of the body, which is the heart. If the heart is sound and it retains its natural purity from which it comes like an infant, if it retains that same kind of purity, that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said an accepted hajj is the one in which you actually come back like the day that your mother gave you birth, which means absolute purity, absolute innocence, having no sin to one's name. That is the heart that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, and it actually takes an entire life to maintain that. That's the struggle of this life, is to maintain that soundness of the heart, the purity of the heart. And if it becomes corrupt, it takes an entire life to correct it, so that when we go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will have the correct heart by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inshallah then judge us. It's very difficult to climb a hill, but it's very easy to come down. It's very easy to roll down. It's very easy to come down and descend. But when you're ascending a mountain, that is obviously very difficult. Paradise is an uphill climb. Keeping the heart pure in this world with the surroundings that we have and the challenges we have around us, then clearly that's an uphill climb, but it's very easy to come downhill and away from that. So it's only the heart in the hereafter that is going to count and nothing else. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at your suwar, la yanzuru ila suwarikum, he doesn't look at your external states, your external displays, your external makeup, adornment, embellishment. That's not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at. Walakin yanzuru ila qulubikum. You could have the most ugliest facial features. You could be a deformed individual. But if the heart is pure, that's really what's going to count. It's like, let's check the hard drive inside. That's what matters. Let's check the board inside. It doesn't matter what the cover and what the exterior looks like. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants a pure heart, and that's what He wants. So really, if a person can take a lot of solace to this, that if they don't have the beauty in this world, that's fine. They focus on their heart because they know in the hereafter, Allah is going to focus on the heart. So everybody, it's a win-win situation for anybody and everybody. Nobody is disadvantaged. Even in this world, the blind person who has had his sight taken away as a challenge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the end of the day, they can even feel a sense of solace and contentment. They have something to look forward to, which is that in the hereafter, I will not be blind. I will be a perfect human being. And based on what's happened to me in this world, due to these disabilities and these inhibitions that I have, I can, inshallah, it saves me from looking at the haram. I mean, that's one sin that I've been saved from, which is a massive sin. I can use my other senses and my other abilities to gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A human, on the Day of Judgment, it mentions that a human being will try to ransom themselves by offering anything possible. They would be willing to give their children, all their wealth and everything just to stay away from the hellfire. That fida, that fidya that they will be giving on the Day of Judgment, that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that baneen, they will give their baneen, they'll give their children, they'll be willing to give anything just to ransom themselves. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, no, kalla, kalla, that's not possible. Today is a time when we take you for who you are and for what you did and for what you represented yourself. We're not going to take this, you know, there's no money today. There's no commodity to exchange. It's all about your rewards and how much satisfaction you have given to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how Allah is satisfied and pleased with you. That's really what matters. A heart which is purified, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only wants that heart. He doesn't want any other heart, subhanAllah. Allah only wants a purified heart. So now let's look at our own hearts and see how presentable they are in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and whether He's going to accept them or not. You see, when it comes to human beings, you have to give them hadiyah. You have to give them a gift. When you want to give them a gift, that's according to their standing. Otherwise, for most people, when you don't give them a gift according to their standing, they take it as an offense. It's actually worse to give something to someone, right, that is below their status than not to give anything at all, because you're actually committing a blunder in that case, whereas in the other case, you're fine. You're neutral. So with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to give Him back our hearts, which are an endowment that He's placed in us. So now, can you imagine how bad it's going to be when we give Him hearts that are not really sound, that are not really up to His status? Ya Allah. You know, the thing with the heart is, as long as we've tried our best, and we've tried to purify it as much as possible, Allah is forgiving. He understands that. But the heart, which is maybe a bit dirty, but it comes with a person who's tried their best, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept that because He looks at the way we've done these things. So one heart Allah has given us. No person in this world has two hearts. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, مَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِرَجُلٍ مِّنْ قَلْبَيْنِ فِي جَوْفِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not placed two hearts in the chest of anybody. Nobody has been given two hearts. There's only one heart. And that one heart needs to be focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that's what Allah created us for, to keep it sound and to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now there's one heart, and that one heart has to be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nothing else. Now this is not to say that you stop loving everything else. It's part of loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you also love what Allah wants you to love. And thus, you love those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You love your parents, we're told to do that. You love the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You love all the good things. Amantu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusuli. I love the prophets, I love the angels, I love everything that Allah wants me to love. And I don't want to love anything Allah does not want me to love. So that is all part of loving Allah. It's a very comprehensive love. So one mustn't think, if I begin to love Allah, then I will have to exclude everything else. Allah is not like human beings, where if you got love for one, you can't really have love for another of a similar track. There is nothing similar to Allah. Everything is lower than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is subject to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So thus, He tells us to love others as well. One heart. And it's only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus, the heart needs to be kept like the way people generally keep good masajid. Right? That's how pure it should be kept. I mean, that's a very good parable that one of our sheikhs gave us, which is that the heart should be kept like a nice, clean, pure masjid. The way you keep it away from filth. That's what we do. You don't let dogs come inside. You don't let people come in with weird clothing, etc. You know, there's a certain sound level that's tolerated and not anything beyond that, etc., etc. There's many, many things that, you know, most people will look for in masajid. That's how we should be looking for in our hearts. In fact, you know what the case is today? We look after our toilets in our house, our lavatories, our bathrooms. We keep them so spotless, we keep them more spotless than our hearts. right? We make sure that it's clean, it's smelling nicely. We put air freshener there. You know, we get the best of disinfectants, and we get the best of cleaners, and we make sure it smells nice, it looks nice. We paint it a particular color. We do all of these things for a toilet, a place where you go and literally relieve yourself and, you know, clean yourself. But we keep that so nice as well. In fact, some people's toilets are cleaner than other places. Right, because that's the focus we have, and yet we have no focus on our hearts. I mean, that is quite embarrassing. It's quite despicable. Our hearts are supposed to be like masajid. So we need to plant good things in our heart. If you've got a garden, you want to plant some good things there, or do you want to plant some thorns in there, or do you want to allow it to just become weeded over because of the outside influences? Likewise, our heart is similar. That if you leave it and you let it be and you're not really concerned about it, you don't protect it, because a garden will become weeded and it will grow all of these strange things that you don't want it to if you just leave it. Because of the external elements, you can't protect it from that. The rain comes, the moss comes, you know, the different forms of fungus appear, etc., etc. That's exactly what's going on with our heart when we don't focus on it. And yet we spend so much time cleaning our bathrooms at home. So if we plant good things in this garden, we keep it clean. So there's two things. One is we embellish it by getting the right type of seeds or plants or seedlings, and we put them in. At the same time, we also clear it up. We also make nice paths in there. We make sure that there's some parts that look like this. There's some parts that put a waterfall in there, etc., etc. And these are all different things that we do. And whatever you put in there, that is what's going to be produced. That's why you can go into nurseries, meaning these plant nurseries, and buy and give you pictures of what it's going to look like when it actually grows, even though you get a seed. But these are things like that. The ulama tell us, the Quran tells us, the Prophet ﷺ told us that this is how it's going to be. If you do this act, this is what it's going to look like. This is how it's going to be. Now, any heart, somebody said to Hassan Basri, who was, mashallah, master of the science of the heart. So somebody asked him that, you know, when you speak to us, our heart isn't affected. Our heart doesn't become affected, you know, we don't feel softness, we don't feel any kind of tenderness in our heart, and nothing kind of is affected. They're asleep. So they describe themselves and their hearts being asleep, and he turned around to them and he said, no, your hearts are not asleep, they are actually dead. Your hearts are asleep, they're not asleep, they are dead, that's why they can't even be awakened anymore. Obviously, he's looking from a very pessimistic point of view. You know, we don't hold that view because we believe that everybody until then, he was probably just saying that for exhortation matters, for exhortation purposes anyway. But the main thing is we believe that anybody can come back. You know, the worst of criminals in this world can rectify and can become better and thus can purify their heart. Of course, it takes more time, because if you've got a heavily weeded garden, you know, it needs to be cleaned much more than something with just some kind of light pollution. Now, the main purpose then in our life is to package the heart for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we mentioned, it's a gift that we want to give back. It's like somebody gave you something to look after and use. Something, Allah gave you something to look after and use. You have to look after it. And the great thing about the heart is that it can get worn, but it can also become pure. So He gave it us to look after. It's an endowment. We need to keep it purified so that when we give it back, it is properly packaged for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is property. You know, somebody could have given us a pen to use just like that. But when we gave it back, just to honor them, we bought a nice case, right? Which they didn't give us. We bought a nice case. We put it in nicely with all this nice tissue and glitter and, you know, all the rest of it, wrote a nice note on it and gave it back to them. They're going to feel much better because they're getting it back better than they had, you know, and you change the refill and so on. So it doesn't look worn and so on and so forth. We're obviously not talking about a big pen, we're talking about a nice pen, you know, like something that's not going to get worn just like that. So we need to package our heart for a presentation in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. That is what the most important thing that's the most important thing it is. We spend, as I said, time cleaning the toilets. Can we not spend 10 minutes on our heart? Just 10 minutes on our heart. And yet people spend half an hour cleaning their toilets. They get special people to clean them. And yet for us, 10 minutes we can't spend on our heart, which is going to be that which is going to take us into the hereafter. Now think about this. A heart which is rusty with sins, how is Allah going to accept it? if you've bought a lot of fruit and you've got fruit in the kitchen and you go to get a piece of fruit and you suddenly see that some of them have now got spots on them, they've got mold that appears, it's gone brown, the apple has gone brown or something, you're not going to accept it. Unless you're extremely hungry, then you're going to try to cut it off. Otherwise, for many of us who've got lots, mashallah, we just kind of get rid of these things. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is not in need of anything, He's never in need that He has to accept something begrudgingly. So, if we can't accept fruit with rot, why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our hearts which are blemished with sins and darknesses? Because that's what the hadith mentions, that every sin that we commit, that's what happens to our hearts. You get a dot, and then you get another dot, and you get another dot. So how is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to accept these blemished hearts when we can't even accept blemished food or bread that's just gone slightly moldy or anything else like that? That's something to think about. Are we making our hearts more despicable than food? Do we give no weight to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You think Allah's just going to accept everything when we don't accept certain things? Now, we also know that there's a hadith which mentions a hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, that an angel refused to come into the house because she had a cloth cover on the wall which had a picture of a bird or something on it. So where there's images of others, then the angel doesn't even come into the homes. So how is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to come into our hearts when we've got the images of many different forms of idols in our hearts? When I say idol, I don't mean Lat and Uzza and the Jahiliyyah idols of Arabia. We're talking about idols of money, idols of this other person that we nearly worship, idols of a football team, idols of status quo positions in this world. These are the different idols that we have, which we're placing in the one heart that we've been given. And we're not putting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that place. So why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if an angel doesn't come in to places that are blemished in such a way, why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come into our hearts? And that's the place He comes into. I say this figuratively, obviously. This is what you call a spiritual disease. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the one who remembers Allah and the one who doesn't, the difference between them is like a living and a dead person. Except that the dead person is the one who's been malnourished, doesn't have nourishment and supplies, and thus has died a physical, biological death. And this is a person who's biologically alive because they're being fed that way, but the nourishment of the heart is not being provided, and thus the person is spiritually malnourished. So there's a dead heart within a body. Biologically, cardiologically, it's fine, but spiritually, that's the problem. And we constantly think of our hearts as just biological or cardiological, a cardiological organ that pumps blood around the body in a healthy way with no clogged vessels, that's what we call a healthy heart. But really, what's a healthy heart is the heart that's living with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in it. And thus, this is a spiritual disease and that needs a cure. So just like with anything else, there's physical ailments, we have spiritual ailments. And this is the thing that we need to be more focused on than anything else. Really, that's the thing that we need to be more focused on than anything else, which is the spiritual ailments. What is a spiritual ailment? Are there times when you don't feel like worship? Are there times when you don't feel like praying? You don't feel like getting up for Fajr? The sleep feels superior to your Fajr prayer. Then know that you've got a spiritual ailment. Is there time when you want to do something but you just don't feel like it? You just can't do it. Forget the Hajjud. We're talking about missing the Fara'id. That's a serious level of spiritual disease. That, let's just say that you're at work and you're in the middle of something, or you're playing a game, or you're playing football, or you're just chatting to a friend on the phone, or you're surfing the web, and Salat time is coming, there's about 20 minutes left, but you push it right until the last minute, or you push it until the end and then you do Qadha and you say, oh man, it's Qadha now, right? That's a spiritual ailment, because that's the way to tell preference, that's the way to tell whether the heart is alive or not, spiritually speaking. You don't need any special instruments for this, right? You don't need to go and get an ECG. right? Or anything of that nature. This is the simple way to do it. Day in and day out, we can tell this. Now, if there's somebody, those of us who pray all the time, who don't miss prayers, who regularly pray and, do what they have to do. But then the question comes is, can we get up for tahajjud? We want to get up for tahajjud. One is you don't know, right? Which is an ignorance. But if we know you have to, that we should be getting up for tahajjud, we'd like to get up for tahajjud, but we can't. That is still a level of spiritual problem and spiritual malady, right? That's still an issue. And likewise with everything else. Likewise with everything else, there's a level of spirituality, and we can gauge our own spirituality rather than judge somebody else. We can gain our own spirituality in this way. If we feel we don't feel like doing the worship, we feel lethargic, then clearly the reason why you feel lethargic from doing any activity is because your muscles are going through some issues because, you know, you're not fit enough. Right, you're not doing enough exercise, and thus the blood isn't going through the body in the right way. There's a cardiological, physical, biological problem. Likewise with spirituality. There's not enough spirituality. The shaitan is coursing through much more strongly than is the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his remembrance. So that is what it is. You know, we have a problem with trying to do these things, and those people who have a live heart, it's difficult to get them out of sajda. They're in prayer, it's difficult to get them out of it. It's like, come on, you know, like, what are you doing? They enjoy it so much because that tells them it's a living heart. It's about, now I think we're kind of understanding that the heart is the crux of all the matter. So many people, they come and they say, you know, we'd like to start doing some dhikr and so on, but we're afraid that we're not going to be able to keep it up. So now the question is that this is circular reasoning. Which is supposed to come first? Are you supposed to become kind of disciplined, regular before you can start doing dhikr? Or is it the dhikr that is eventually going to clear your heart and clear our hearts and thus be able to allow us to do more dhikr? Because look, the reason why we do these things is because we, though we claim to have the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't. Not in the level that is required. We love other things slightly a bit more. Slightly a bit more. That's what it is, to put it into perspective. So now, once we start doing some dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever you mention anybody a lot, the love of it, the knowledge of it gets more and more in your heart. You feel closer to it, right? For example, I want to buy a certain car. So now every time I'm on the road, I notice that. I notice that particular car. And I notice other cars that are similar to it, and I compare them, right? So likewise, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes in our mind, then we'll start noticing Allah's actions and Allah's manifestation and His jalal and jamal, His majesty and His beauty in different things around the world. Then we'll start actually comparing it to other competitors that are in our mind, and we'll start saying, no, this is what I want. I don't want that one. This is what I want. Because with a car, I could eventually find another car that is superior and change my mind, because at the end of the day, they're both human creations. And one could have the purpose for which I wanted that could be better than in the other one. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no match. So there's no comparison. So when you are comparing, it will always take you back to Allah, because what you're comparing with, if you're looking at it properly, it will tell you, no, there. That's the one who created me as well. Don't come to me. Go there directly. I'm just a manifestation of Allah's beauty. I'm just a manifestation of Allah's power, or His elaborateness, or His latafa, right? Or whatever the case is, right? Go to Allah. Go to Allah. And that's the way. The only way we can kickstart ourselves onto it is to start doing some dhikr. Because if you think, I'm going to stop sins, then I'm going to start doing dhikr. Dhikr is what's going to make you stop doing sins. Subhanallah. Right, so a lot of people, they get deceived like this. Just yesterday, somebody said to me, he says, look, I don't know if I should start doing the dhikr because I'm not regular. I said, it's fine. Even a bit of dhikr, and then you're not regular, you might miss it sometimes, better than not starting it at all. Like, what is this? There's no choice in here. This is what you want, because you want to package your heart to give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we take the filth out of our heart. So, the heart which is true is the one which is inhibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with His love. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already purchased ourselves from ourselves by the fact that He's going to give us Jannah. So the deal has already been done. Now it's like we're reneging on our deal. In the sense that, look, I purchased something from you and I'm supposed to give it to you. But you know what I start doing? I start abusing. I've sold you a car. and I'm supposed to give it to you in, you know, 2-3 days or whatever, you know what I start doing with it? I start taking it for a real ride. I start abusing it left, right, and center because I know I'm going to give it back to you. That's really bad. That's the way. I mean, anybody, any sensible person is going to think, what is this guy doing? He sold the car. He should not be messing around with it like that. He should not be taking it for drives in the way he's doing and really like pushing it to its extreme. And, you know, taking it through the mud and all of these things and doing these 360s or 180s or whatever you call them, right? These, you know, I don't know what you call them, but you know what I mean. Now, that's what we're doing with Allah. Allah says in the Quran, He's purchased your heart, you've got Jannah. Now, what we're doing is we're taking it for a ride. We're really abusing ourselves and our bodies to the full and thinking He's still going to give us Jannah. These are the believers among us, subhanAllah. So the focus is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought it already, but He wants a good deal from us. He wants a proper package from us. That's what we need to be concerned about. And the good thing is, regardless of how many years we've spent in heedlessness, the car is not going to, you know, to replace a car is more difficult. To replace the heart is more easy because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very forgiving. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the human body an amazing thing. And especially the spiritual heart, there's no physicality about it. There's no biological being there. That, okay, a vessel, okay, it's corrupt, it's become shorter, you have to do a bypass. You know, there's nothing of that. It's a spiritual heart which is extremely malleable. And it can turn with the dhikr from, you know, becoming a nafs, being a nafsul ammara bisu to become the nafsul mutma'inna. Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutma'inna irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyya fadkhuli fi ibadi wadkhuli jannati. And that's why it's an achievable target. Make the heart for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and give Him the right due that is, and He will give us even more. So although it's a deal that's been made, the result is going to be Jannah and His pleasure, which we all hope for. Our hearts, really, another metaphor is that our hearts are like boxes with something very valuable inside. That's what our heart is. It's just the coverage for something very valuable inside. That's the spiritual heart we speak about. So that is what we need to make sure that we don't lose the value that's inside by allowing the heart to wander around and go into the wrong places. Everybody has what they call basarat, which is external sight. Most people who have been endowed with sight, which is the majority of people, they've got basarat. In Arabic, you call that basarat, which is the sight of the eyes, of the vision. But then there is a sense called basira, which is the internal sight, the sight that goes beyond seeing things in their apparent state and understands the consequences of these things. It's a more far-reaching sight. It's called internal insight or spiritual insight. So it's called basira. A few fortunate ones are given basira. But basira has to come from a good heart. So when our hearts become purer and purer, we will actually start noticing the evil of things more easily. So today, we may love to do something that's wrong. And though we know it's wrong intellectually in our mind and brain, we still want to do it because we just, you know, we're slaves of it. But once we gain basira by purifying the heart, then automatically we will feel we will feel repulsed by that thing. We'll feel, no, we can't do that. The same thing that we loved to do 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 2 years ago, we won't want to do it anymore. And that is when it becomes easier. See, right now when our heart isn't clean, it's a challenge. Because we want to do it, but we know we shouldn't do it. But once the heart is purified, then it's easy because it's just we're repulsed by it. And that's the dua that we make to Allah. Oh Allah, make all your obediences beloved to our hearts. And make your disobediences ugly in our hearts. So we just naturally just feel reprehensibility towards it and repulsed by it. And that's a state that we want to gain. But we have to put some effort because it's a challenge. The dunya is a challenge for us. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us basira by which we can make distinction between the good and bad, the haq and the batil, the right and the wrong, the thing which are of benefit and things which provide harm. That's what we want. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. That maybe the person is saying, لَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا. They have eyes which they can't see with. It's talking about the inside. That's why in the other verse says, وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. That the hearts which are in the heart, the eyes which are in the heart, they are blinded. They are veiled, they are covered. And that's why, though the external sight is there, the internal sight is not there. So if we can reform our internal self by keeping the company of the pious, by these things, and there are so many people in history, right, from Indian poets to the greater sinners and disbelievers and so on who've rectified their hearts. Umar radiallahu anhu, how can you have somebody worse in a sense than somebody who goes out to kill Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and yet he becomes so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala afterwards that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that shaitan cannot even walk in the same street as Umar. He literally changes direction and says, okay, I'm going to take a detour, I'm going this way. Right? There's nobody else like that, subhanallah. And yet this man started differently, started totally on the opposite side. I'm sure we can't be worse than that, you know. Wallahu alam, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changes everybody. And that's the possibility. So it's to package this heart. His heart became so pure that when the Prophet ﷺ told him that, no, you have to love me more than anybody else, even including yourself. So within a few seconds or minutes or whatever it was, he turned around and said, okay, now I can say that. That took him just a few moments, not a few weeks, to make that change in his mind, because the heart was there ready to take it and ready to make that adjustment for himself. So similarly with these poets that in India, I mean, there's examples that come to mind of Jigar Muradabadi. His name was a very famous poet, right, in India, and he used to drink as well. He's a Muslim, but he used to drink. He used to say some really good poetry and some weird poetry and so on. He came to Maulana Shavali Thanwi, and Maulana Shavali Thanwi, Hakimul Ummah Rahimahullah, he told him what to do, etc., and he left everything. He left everything and he became pious afterwards. If we reform our hearts, the benefit is that we get Jannah. We get paradise, we get the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is extremely important. That is because that is the real world, and then after that there's no acquisition anymore afterwards. Whatever we acquire through our own doing or through the shafa'ah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam or any other of the other awliya, that's all you're going to get. There's nothing else. There's no, and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kindness, there's nothing else about it. But we have to give them an excuse. Why would the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam intercede for us when we've totally disregarded his sunnah, when we've never read his words, when we never want to listen, when we feel no inclination towards it, when we keep disregarding? Why would he want to do that? Give him some. We can't maybe follow 100% the sunnah, but give him some excuse. Ya Rasulullah, you know, I used to say 100 salawat on you a day. You know, you've got something to bargain with. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is known for his kindness in his generosity. So, okay, mashallah, you used to do 100 salawat, 200 salawat a day, khalas, no problem. Right, I'll give you something for it. Another person says, I used to do this, I used to follow your sunnah, I used to teach your sunnah, I used to teach hadith. Okay, I'll give you a higher place. You know, meaning I'll give you shafa'ah for a higher place. Because the Prophet ﷺ will give many types of shafa'ah, intercessions. One is for those who are going into hellfire, they're about to go, and then the Prophet ﷺ intercedes for them. Another one is those who've gone to hellfire, they're taken out by the Prophet ﷺ and given to paradise. Obviously, there must be a reason why he's going to do that to them. Right? Then, of course, there's others who will be given special VIP passes to just pass by into Jannah without any questioning whatsoever. You know, that's where we want to be from, inshallah. And then there's others who are in Jannah, and Allah gives us them a higher place. Inshallah, we want to be from those as well. Right? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam provides an intercession, and he gets a higher place. We want to be in Jannatul Firdaus. That's what we want. I know it sounds like it's like saying, I want to become the president of America. Right? It just sounds impossible. I want to become the Prime Minister of the UK. It kind of sounds an impossibility. It's a possibility within the realm. Jannatul Firdaus? What kind of a possibility is that? But it is a possibility because it works on our deeds. And if we have that mind, we're going to work towards it. If somebody wants to become the president, he's going to start reading all of these political books. I had a friend in New Jersey, actually. I went to his house and he's got this whole series of books on the past presidents of the United States. I said, you know, I didn't know you were interested in this subject. He says, yeah, I want to run for counselor. Right? So I'm studying all of this so I can understand political insight, and, you know, I can get an understanding of the game. So if you want Jannatul Firdaus, you're going to have to read the Quran. We're going to have to start doing some extra nawafil and salawat. We're going to have to stay away from a bit more haram than we want. Otherwise, it's just a desire, it's a wish. It's just like somebody wants to become the president, sits back and just expect him to be suddenly given an honorary presidency. I've never heard of one of those. Honorary PhDs, I've heard of them. Right? But even for that, you need some kind of capability. You need to have had a lot of money, you need to have done a lot of work or whatever, and then they come and say, okay, you know, we grant you an honorary PhD without you having to work your head off for 3-4 years and become, you know, losing your hair, etc. That happens. But Jannah, of course it can happen, but there needs to be some excuse. And that's what we want. We want that excuse in this world. We don't want to be totally disregarded. Check our minds. How do we feel about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do we feel any love for Allah actively? Do we thank Him a few times a day? That's the question to ask yourself. Do you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a few times a day? Like when you got food and you think, wow, that's from Allah. So you actually remember Him actively. Not that it's your belief. So when somebody asks you, are you a believer? Yes, I am. I believe in Allah. That's not the kind of belief we're talking about. We're saying somebody who actively remembers Allah a day. When they're praying, they remember Allah. Many of us pray for obligation and we don't remember really speaking to Allah because we're just thinking of every... It's like we've gone in for a meeting and we can't even remember what happened in the meeting because we were distracted. Now, if our child in front of us, you know, you tell the child here, read this book for me. Or you tell an employee or something, read this for me. And they're reading it and they kind of discard. They've got their phone in their other hand or they're thinking of something else. You can tell, can't you? You can tell when somebody's doing something in front of you and they're not doing it with concentration. You can tell that. You think Allah can't tell what's going on in our hearts when we're praying? And that's exactly what we do. How cheesed off do you feel? How irritated do you feel when somebody that's supposed to be presenting you with something, reading something for you, is disconnected? How bad do you feel? You feel it's an offense. Now, can you believe how clement and forbearing Allah is that He knows this? Prayer after prayer we do of this nature, and yet He doesn't take us to task. Subhanallah. So that prayer is going to have to improve. And that prayer is going to improve by doing the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so dedicating that 10 minutes, as I said, you know, half an hour, 20 minutes for the toilet, special brush, disinfectant, detergents. Well, the heart needs that. If you have to spend money for it, you have to spend money for it. But it's free, it's just dhikr. It's just abstinence from haram, fulfilling the obligations and the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we will be given the eternal pleasures of Jannah and Paradise if we reform our hearts. Otherwise, it's going to be hellfire. And the way to remove the filth from our heart and to get a jump start, you need to make tawbah. Tawbah and repentance is what's needed, because what that does is it takes the back filth away. So then you've got a lighter load. It's like, you know, I've got stuff accumulating in the trunk or boot of my car. Or I've got, all of these files and documents, etc., that is just littering my office all over the place. I need to have a spring clean. Or my computer, my email is all over the place. I find it so difficult to look for things. So you need that spring clean. Once it's all done, it's become streamlined. You feel better. It looks less cluttered. It just becomes more efficient. And that's the way we need to do with our hearts as well. We just need to give it a clean. And the way to clean the hearts is to do tawbah. And that's the main thing, is to do tawbah. And that is when the secrets of the heart will be revealed. The secrets Allah places in the heart, insight, basira, all of these things will be revealed by that. So tawbah is to get rid. It's not difficult to purify the heart as long as you're focused, as long as we're focused on it, which is by doing remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The problem is that trying to do some remembrance and dhikr, etc., generally because we're so non-disciplined, we try for a few days and then we lose hope. That's why the ulama mentioned that if you do it with somebody, like a spiritual guide, so you know you can do science, study of science or a study of ecology or economics or whatever through books, self-help books. But how many people actually have the ability and the discipline, the time frame, etc., scheduling ability, etc., to be able to do that, right? To be able to do that with discipline and go through it. You'll do it for a few days and you think, oh, because it's your own, you know, you have to answer to your own self, so it's difficult. When you do it under a teacher in a organized course, then of course, you know, there are deadlines to meet. There are certain things, there's accountability, there's responsibility, there's supervision. That's why this benefits to be under a sheikh. That's the benefit of it, which we spoke about a few weeks ago. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He pays attention to the corrected hearts. And so may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open up our internal sight, grant us light in our internal sight so that we're able to see the right things. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient. He just needs the excuse to give it to us. We need to show Him that excuse by making tawbah and by starting some kind of dhikr. And that is how you gain a formal relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. until you become overwhelmed with his love. And when that happens, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a person should remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much that yuqalu innahu majnoon, that it's being said that he is a majnoon, that he is he's insane in the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, that Allah says in the Quran, إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned, their hearts tremble. Is our state like that? When Allah is mentioned, we tremble in ourselves as to whether we're fulfilling His responsibilities or not. That's our test that we need to have. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. We make a short dua before we take our questions. Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam, tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. اللهم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اللهم يا حنان يا منان لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين جزى الله عنا محمدا ما هو أهله اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Oh Allah, accept us despite our dirt of our hearts. Oh Allah, accept us and accept our du'as. And Oh Allah, accept our coming here on these Saturdays once a month. Oh Allah, this is the little that we can do. Oh Allah, this is the opportunity that we have. Oh Allah, accept us in the fullest of ways. Oh Allah, though we're not in any way close to your awliya or any way to being of that level, Oh Allah, grant us, you have all of these things are at your discretion and your disposal. Oh Allah, for you it's very easy to take us in the fullest of manners despite our weakness and our defects and our shortcomings. Oh Allah, these hands are extended to you from all of our sisters here, from the young and the old. Oh Allah, we ask you to accept our du'as, and we ask you to soften our hearts, and we ask you to take our hearts and bring them closer to you. Oh Allah, fill our hearts with your dhikr and your remembrance. Oh Allah, allow your dhikr to emanate from every part of our body, from our tongues, Oh Allah, and from our hearts directly. Oh Allah, we've just been discussing that you will not accept a heart that is blemished and that is with faults. Oh Allah, unfortunately our entire life has been spent in this way. Oh Allah, we've only come to realization recently. Oh Allah, we've only come to realization recently. Oh Allah, if it was only that from our birth that we could have purified and kept and maintained our pure heart. But unfortunately, that has not been the case. Our hearts are filled with so much dirt from things around us, from lots of ghibah, from lots of hasad and jealousy, from lots of enmity, from lots of evil thoughts, and from thinking bad about others and deception. And oh Allah, from many, many forms of sins and evil. Oh Allah, we've missed many, many prayers in our life. Oh Allah, we've overlooked many, many obligations. We've committed many harams with our hands and our eyes, our ears, our feet, and our thought. Oh Allah, our hearts are filled with evil thoughts all the time. Oh Allah, it's only for you to purify them. Oh Allah, we've made a tawbah today. Oh Allah, we repented today. Oh Allah, make this a sincere tawbah, despite whatever level of heedlessness we said it with. Oh Allah, for you, it's easy for you to do this. For us, it's a difficulty. Oh Allah, we've come to this level. Oh Allah, we've come to this stage at least. Oh Allah, now take us from this stage. Oh Allah, you're the one who brought us to this stage even. We thank you for that. We thank you and we're grateful for you for everything that you do for us, for every morsel we get. And oh Allah, around the world there are people who are dying, who don't get a morsel of food, yet we have a choice of what to cook every day. So much choice that sometimes we don't even know what to cook. And thus we have to ask others. We have to ask others for ideas. Oh Allah, constantly everything is at our disposal, all forms of ingredients and components for whatever we want to do, it's all available for us. Oh Allah, this is, we pray to you that you don't make this a source of istidraj and deception for us. Oh Allah, that you make this a true bounty and allow us to treat it like a bounty and do your shukr many, many times a day. Our life, Oh Allah, should be made of shukr. Oh Allah, grant us shukr in our hearts. Oh Allah, grant us shukr in our hearts. Because many of the mashaykh have said that whoever does not enter from the door of shukr, he will never enter into the door of Jannah. Oh Allah, we ask you that you give us shukr, because we think that this is our state, that we are in the state of shukr where we should be doing shukr. Oh Allah, we are extremely dirty and impure in our hearts. Only you can clean them. Oh Allah, in the world we see that when a child becomes totally soiled and is on the floor and is dirty all over, nobody wants to pick him up. That same child who everybody was fighting over, now nobody wants to pick him up. The only person that wants to pick him up is his mother, who picks him up and purifies him, cleans him, makes him smell nice again, and draws that child close to herself. Oh Allah, we know that we're in the same state as that child. We're totally polluted with our sins. Oh Allah, we're totally polluted with our sins. Nobody wants to pick us up. Anybody with any kind of insight doesn't want to look at us. But oh Allah, we know that you have more mercy than all the mothers of this world, than all the mothers put together of this world. Not just the mothers, but every creature in this world that has ever expressed mercy and will ever express mercy. That will only amount to 1% of your mercy. Oh Allah, we know that you're more merciful, so thus we can have more hope. And it's with this hope in your mercy that we're asking you to purify us and make us purified. Oh Allah, we've tried many times in the past to make a sincere tawbah. Make this one different. Oh Allah, make this one a true one. Make all of our back deeds, all the bad deeds that we may have done in the past, to be forgiven, O Allah, and that we start a whole new course of life, and we go back home changed in different ways, that we become illuminated and we become the source of guidance for ourselves, our families and others. O Allah, keep our children purified. If we weren't able to be purified in our youth, O Allah, keep our children purified. Give us the tawfiq to help them and do good tarbiyah, and give them the tawfiq to listen, to understand and to negotiate the pitfalls of this life and the challenges of being in this country or wherever we may be in dealing with it properly. Oh Allah, accept our du'as. Oh Allah, accept our du'as. Oh Allah, bring us closer to you. And we ask you finally that you send your blessings on our messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you bring us in his company on the day of judgment, and you make him fond of us on that day, that he gives us to drink, and you give us his company in Jannatul Firdaus. Oh Allah, we ask you for nothing less than Jannatul Firdaus, and thus we ask you that you make, you enable us to do deeds in this world that are befitting of Jannatul Firdaus. Oh Allah, this is a high ambition, but we know that you've told us to have high ambitions. Your messengers told us this. Oh Allah, send your blessings on him and grant us his company in the hereafter. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.